podcast, you all. We here, we on. Let's get it cracking, you know what I'm saying? Let's just talk. Let's have a sit down conversation. It's the round table discussion. I got my family on, and let's get into it. So let me kick it off by saying we're going to introduce ourselves again. Again, my name is Lamont. I range from Chicago, and that's what we're going to say. I'm going to kick it over to J5. What you got to say, bro?
What's up, everybody out there? That's J5. You know, got my ties out west in Chicago, K-Town, L-Town, North Minneapolis, Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to do it again this weekend. Terrell, what's going on? You going to introduce yourself for us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's your boy, Terrell. I missed the first podcast, but I'm on this one. Hailing from, you know, we all from the west side, 5317. You know, I got North Minneapolis and I got Phoenix, Arizona ties. So it's going down, man. We're going to do it big. I'm happy to be here.
How y'all doing? This is Myra. Happy to be here again and for this podcast tonight.
And last but not least, you have Mr. JC on. Another week of being Mr. Introverted himself, but I'm here ready to get my talk on with the fellas.
All right, fellas. So as you know, the big old Super Bowl was last Sunday. So man, I gotta take my hats off to Tampa Bay, man. They did a good job. That front four was ridiculous. Yeah. They got on my home tail. That boy was running like a dog in heat. That thing was, he was running. He was running for his life. He couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. That front four, Tampa Bay front four did a great job. And good shouts out to, you know, Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator. Shouts out to
He did a hell of a job. Man, he kept Kansas City offense out the end zone. Come on now, really.
But I think what really helped Tampa Bay was that they played Kansas City like probably like maybe like 4 weeks previous to that. So they was able to see a lot of their formations and different stuff like that. Because I believe if they don't play Kansas City early in the week, and that's their first meeting in the Super Bowl, I believe that they don't double-team Tyreek Hill like they did in the Super Bowl. And I think he eat them alive as far as one-on-one coverages and stuff like that. So I think it played amazing dividends for Tampa Bay to be able to play them early in the season.
Well, what it was, Jason, they kept two safeties over the top all game. And you rarely see that they came out that formation. They was back there all game.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this real quick. Can we say that Tom Brady is the GOAT now? Is he the best
undisputed
football player ever?
Undisputed. Undisputed.
Yeah, when you talking about championships, he got seven of them. He got a seven-piece spicy with barbecue sauce.
I think that's a little different, right? Because I think that's the difference between saying he's the best football player ever, or is he the best winner ever? Like, I mean, because like, let's say, is he because there's different categories. Like, obviously, we know he's not the most athletic football player who ever played the game. So, like, when you say, is he the best player ever? Like, is he better than like a Lawrence Taylor or Walter Payton or somebody like that? Like, how would you categorize?
Well, could you go best quarterback ever? You throw the position out right there instead of just saying pure player.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to say the best player at his position.
He would be a quarterback.
And guess what? I have to say this as well. There's not going to be another person that was able to do what he did with Tampa. You go from a great organization to a subpar organization, and then you take that, you take your leadership, and you turn him into a champion. That's a damn good athlete, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, so let me ask y'all this. So, obviously, y'all know I'm a basketball guy. I mean, I'm an athlete, and I don't know football as well as I know basketball. So, did Jameis Winston have as many weapons as Tom Brady had?
He said he had the same weapons, but the difference between Jameson and Brady Brady is a proven winner. Jameson was at it. He didn't understand how to win. You know what I'm saying? So when you change that position a little bit, he just changed it. Jameis was a winner. He was a winner. He was a winner in his college career. He was a winner. But he didn't know how to be a leader they needed to catapult them to the next level. Not saying he wasn't a great quarterback. He's a hell of a quarterback, but he wasn't able to provide that oomph to get him over the hump.
But there's some minor tweaks in there too, real. Like I think with Tom Brady, this kind of points to Mont's view to his take on it. Is when you come in with leadership like that, that allows you to tweak the offense. I think when Jameis Winston, even though he had 30 touchdowns, he also threw 30 interceptions. But they have a real stubborn coach over there who likes to play his system. But I think by Brady coming in with 6 championships already, the coach kind of took a step back, and Brady was like, well, this is what I'm good at, bringing some of that offensive flavor that they was playing in New England. They brought it to Tampa Bay to let him play to his strengths as well, too. I don't think Jameis was allowed for, you know, like, not, I want to take control, but I don't think they played too much to Jameis' strength as they have done with Tom Brady, because he came in already with just that championship flavor. So he was able to put, like, just his little bit of twist on it as well, too.
Right. That's a fair assessment. That's a great fair assessment. But fellas, we gotta take our head off to that defense, bro. That defense was amazing.
And I'm gonna say this, man. I told JC on weeks ago, right? I said, look, Joe, I don't want New Orleans playing Green Bay. I said, I want Tampa. He kept saying, no, just give it some time. Let the defense, you know. I'm like, no, look, check it out. I think the only team that can beat Green Bay at the time, and that bad man Stephen A. Smith say, Aaron Rodgers, was Tampa Bay. Because when you're playing like somebody like these elite quarterbacks, you got to put pressure on them, as we all know. Like, you got to get pressure on them. So look at what Tampa Bay did. Lamar said you got to get credit to Todd Bowles. I agree. But you got to first start off. He took out Drew Brees. Then he went to Lambeau Field, took out Aaron Rodgers. Then he took out Patrick Mahomes. Come on now.
But all those games, what did that front 7 do? Some 4 down linemen and them 3 linebackers, what did they do? They showed out. They showed out, bro. And I kept telling my cousin, I said, listen here, if Tampa Bay win, that front 4 got to play like they mama told them they can't come back to the house.
I want to go back to a real point. I would say he's the greatest NFL winningest player. I put it at winning because I don't think any other player in the NFL, period, no matter what position they has 7 rings. So I would go. So I would say he's probably the Bill Russell of the NFL. Am I
correct? Not talented.
I agree.
Not talented. I think we all can say they're talented. Well, I don't know all, but majority talented. You got to give it to Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. The most talented quarterback ever.
Got you.
Talented.
Got you.
But not, like J.C. Young said, the winningest. No.
So Tom Brady got 7. Who's the next closest winning quarterback?
That would be...
The Manning brothers with 2, right?
No. Come on, J.C. Young. Come on, you know your football better than that. That is the guy that was in San Francisco.
Oh, Joe Montana.
I think he goes by his name. Joe Montana.
Forgive me.
How many did Joe get?
He has 4.
How many did Joe have? He has four. Mm-hmm. Got you.
Okay. Well, fellas, enough of the Super Bowl talk. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Perspective on being a parent as a man, parenting children, and from a man perspective. That's what we're here for. And I want to transition right to that, you know, it's a key point. We talked about the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the transition. Let's talk about parenting from a man's perspective. You know, on the phone we have, we only got one guy on the phone right now don't have children. That's Mr. JC on. And then we have Jonathan with 1. Myself have 3. Terrell got 9 cows, a monkey, and a pit bull.
Hey, I got about 16 on the show.
I don't know his status. I don't know his kid status. I know my main man Myra got a 5-piece spicy. You know what I'm saying? That's about it.
Yeah, he got a 5-piece spicy dinner.
You know what I'm saying? So, Mr. Terrell, how many you got for real? I'm just all jokes. How many you got for real?
So I have Tiari's my oldest, my beautiful baby girl, my oldest one. She's 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my son Jaden, who's 16. Okay. And then I have Anthony. Mm-hmm. Anthony is 10. Mm-hmm. I got Caden, I got Manuel, and then I got Ayana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Terrell, you got a you got a contract with Gerber.
I'm playing spade. I got 7 in a possible. I got 7 in about 3 possible.
Oh man.
No, I'm just kidding, man. But no, I wouldn't mind kicking this conversation off.
Okay, well, real quick before you kick it off, I just want to tell it since you went off in detail. Your kids' name and their ages. I think I feel the need to tell my kids' name and their ages as well.
Sure.
So,
let's do that.
My oldest son is 23. It's Lamon Jr. My middle son is Jacoby. He's 16. And my baby girl, Chloe, she's 10.
Okay.
Noon pop.
Y'all got 20-year-olds. Okay. So,
hey, that subtle oldest, jab.
My oldest is Imani. She's 14. My second is my twin boys, Jordan and Jaden. They are 10. And then we have my toddlers, Amaya. She is 3. And Aleya, who is 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got unbusy about 18 months ago.
Yeah, you just started pulling your thing out, ain't you? Me and Mark been busy since Mike first ring.
All right, go ahead, Jonathan. Introduce yours.
So, I got one son. He's 9 years old. He's my heart. Jonathan Jr., he's a junior as well. I've been doing a good job. I've been a disciplined young man. You know, I have a weakness, but
You sure about that? hey, it's finna get spicy in this one.
Hey,
well, let's just say I've been very disciplined.
You've been disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
go ahead, JCR. You can introduce your nephews.
Them ain't his kids. he can get them back. Get them kids right back.
Oh, that's so funny.
Turn them to center. Now y'all going back with y'all mama now. I ain't got time now. Going back over there.
Yeah. Hey, y'all got to get on. Y'all got to get on. Yeah,
but so go ahead. Since Terrell, since you got the bulk of the children and you got a little small baseball team, you go, let me, let's hear about your perspective of being a father, what that looks like for you in your household.
Okay, well, so for me, let me kind of I apologize a little bit. When I introduced myself, I didn't really state the fact that I'm a devout believer. I'm a Christian man. I'm a man, but I really believe in Christ. So that's the So Christ is the center of my household. Okay, so we got to start there. I think parenting, man, it's a challenge. It's such a challenge, especially today. And today's parenting is so much more different than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or even when we came up. I feel that from a male's perspective, I truly believe that there's an attack on the heterosexual male today.
Okay.
It's a major attack on the heterosexual male.
So, real quick, I don't mean to interject, but some of our listeners, elaborate more on the attack that you say on heterosexual male. Elaborate a little bit more on that before you go into dive into the parenting aspect. So dive into it a little bit more when you say an attack.
For sure. Well, I feel like with the now there's always been homosexuality in our society. Correct. Right? There's always been homosexuality. But I feel like of late it's been trendy. Right? It's been real trendy. So you have a high amount, a large amount of homosexuality going on, and they're normalizing it, right? And so me myself, as I'm pretty sure everybody, I know everybody on this podcast, all my family here, I don't have nothing against someone who's homosexual, right? My problem is, and let me not say the person individually, but the system, the homosexual agenda. What I have a problem with is when they start to push their agenda on to me and mine, right? So like now parenting for me now, I have to parent against that. Like I really have to, it's one thing to teach my son how to be a man, but then it's another thing to teach him today's man is a different man than what the man I grew up with. I grew up knowing. Right. And so I have to really be circumspect. I have to be intentional. I have to be deliberate about the way that I teach my son, my boys, male values. Right. Like, I think like today, a lot of males today, they don't hold the door for people no more. Right. Like, I see women taking out the garbage, moving the garbage can to the street. I see women bringing in their groceries, you know, like I don't see males, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen because there are real, I still see strong males out here, but as a whole, I don't see as a whole, them teaching, like y'all know how granddaddy taught us, you know what I'm saying? Like I was always taught if the women go do the grocery shopping, these men in the house, y'all go get them bags. Go get them bags, put them in the kitchen, and then you know the women can put them away. But my mama ain't taking out no trash. My sister, my daughter, they not taking out no trash. You know what I'm saying? So like, so I'll give you an example, and I'll kind of pass it so I don't take up all our time. If I come home and I see my wife taking out the trash, or let's say she's taking out the trash to the big garbage can, and I walk in the house and I see my boys on their iPad, on their video games, we're gonna have a problem. And so I have to make it an issue, right? So like my boys, my son Anthony, you know, they into the skinny jeans stuff. So I don't try to make them robots, but I give them subtleties. Like the other day, Anthony was walking out of the house, and I'm like, Anthony. He said, yeah. I said, them pants are a little young, ain't they? You know, just little stuff. And he's like, no, they not. No, I'm, okay. I'm just, you know, I just got to throw it out there. They look a little young now. I see your curves now. You know, and so, you see what I'm saying? So you just, I gotta put that out there. And so, I have to let them see me, and so I have to do male stuff. I gotta do man stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta be deliberate on making sure I hug my wife and kiss my wife in front of them, and you know, if we out in public, I'm holding the door for the old lady or anybody coming. But that's my perspective.
Okay. It seemed like
parents
have some connection.
Yeah. We have some connection issues, okay. But I'll go now because my parenting is a little bit different. So it's a little bit different for me because my son, I raised my son with me. So I had my first son when I was 17 years old. So that means for me, I was a single father up until I got married. So once I got, before I got married, just me and my son. So I had to learn as I go. You know, one thing about this life, parenting doesn't come with a guide. You know, it's not a how-to guide, a how-to parent. So oftentimes as you parent, you duplicate how your mama treated you. And then you take what you didn't like about the parenting from your mother. And then you add something that you think that would be beneficial for your child. So that's how we parent nowadays. But you got to look at it now. Parenting is different now, just like, just to elaborate on what Terrell said. Parenting is different now. So it's going to look different now just because our kids are so exposed to so many things at a fast age to where, as parents now, we have to keep up with the times that we're in.
Right.
So right. When you take that aspect, you know what I'm saying? Back when I was coming up, you didn't have the social media. You didn't have all these outlets for kids to see and get exposed to anything. You didn't have the sexual content. You didn't have the homosexual stuff. You didn't have all that stuff right in the forefront of their faces. But at home, your home needs to be structured. So I want to be a little bit transparent.
Okay. We got some connection issues.
My daughter has to take the garbage out. That's what that household required. So I want to be too manly in that because you have different households for different situations. But for me and my house,
sure.
Parenting,
sure.
You have to duplicate what you see. So at the end of the day, if you're a man, you have to show manly things. You know what I'm saying? So if that means taking out the garbage, right. That means holding doors, that means, okay, you need to sit down and a man, this is how men handle adversity. This is how men handle things around the house, right? So we got to teach these skills. We got to teach these skills of just even picking up the broom or mopping the floor. It's those subtle skills that they have to learn. But the only skill that, the only thing that really resonated with me with my son when I was raising him by myself is that the respect. Respect the people that's before you. Respect your elders. So for me,
sure.
Can I add
to what you're saying, because you're making really, 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 really good points. Another thing I wanted to say, and this goes in, I think you were just leading into this, and I think you do a really good job of this. I think like when we were coming up, the males before us wasn't really, they didn't really know how to, like we were taught not to show emotion, right? Like, boy, don't be crying and stuff like that. One of the things I also parent, like, no, for real, straight up. But like, I try to also make it a point to let my kids show emotion and teach them how to use their intellect and think their way through their challenges, right? You know what I'm saying? Like I try to hug my kids as much as possible and love on them. You know, like the males that were before us, they didn't, like, it was kind of toxic masculinity, if right. You know what I mean? And I brought that up because I've seen you do the opposite, Lamon. I've seen you interact with your kids really well in that aspect.
So in saying that, you know, parenting is you know, like I said again, I don't want to keep repeating myself and be repetitive, but parenting looks different from everybody. So I want to hear what Myron have to say about how he parents. Like, he got toddlers, he got little people running around. I drive crazy. I'm 40 some years old and I got little people running around. No, I can't do that right now, Doc. So Myron, help us out.
That's why I got it out the way now, because I ain't finna be 40 with no 2-year-old. You gotta be crazy. I pretty much, I'm more so, the man in the household do man things. My wife is not taking out no garbage. She's not about to be outside doing yard work, fixing stuff. That's me and the boys. And if I don't see them doing stuff, and like I come home and there's trash in the yard, I'm like, so you just walked over that trash and you ain't pick it up? Who's about to pick it up? Granddaddy,
I had to cut you out real quick, Myra, but Granddaddy will wake your ass up to go pick up that paper bag. Yep.
Oh, hey, man. I remember Barry used to wake us up to clean one bowl.
On one bubble, Joe. Hey, one time, not to be all over the place with it, but check it out, Joe. One time, you right, Hal. It was because Barry worked long hours. He get off late as hell. So my cousin, Papa, which is Lamont's brother, and at the time, Terrell was staying with them. Papa left a bowl in the sink. So my Uncle Barry got off work at midnight. So he get home about 1 o'clock. He kindly got Papa out of sleep in his third motherfucking dream. Said, boy, you better get your ass there and get that motherfucking bowl out my damn sleep.
Go ahead, though. All right, so with me, there's a difference in how I, not necessarily raised, but how I confront issues with my daughter. Mm.
You took my question straight out of my mouth.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was gonna ask Mont because his baby is a little older than you and Rails. But I was gonna ask him, do you feel like, because my sister, like she's told me stories that she felt like when Buddy was around, she felt like that he was a little bit harder on her than he was with me. So my question to you, Mont, do you feel like that? Do you feel like that you go harder with your daughter than you would with your two boys?
Nope, it's the opposite. I go hard on my boys and I'm light on my daughter.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
So
yeah.
The reason why I'm hard on my boys because at the end of the day, they're gonna have families. So they gotta know how to raise a family. You gotta know how to go out there and provide for your family. You gotta go out there and know how to raise a kid. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna give you these skills and what I have, and I'm gonna give you the best of skills. I'm gonna give you all my knowledge for you can go out to obtain it. Because at the end of the day, you have to be a productive man in this society. That means I have to teach you how to manage your money. I have to teach you how to love your wife. I have to teach you, you know, not teach you how to love, but show you the way I love my wife. I have to show you these things that you're gonna need to be a successful male. Now, on the opposite of my daughter, I'm showing my daughter how I treat my wife. This is how you're supposed to be treated. I'm open up this door. This is what you're supposed to do when you gotta. This is what your guy or whoever you said gonna deal with. He's supposed to open up the doors. He's supposed to make sure you're okay. He's supposed to cater to you. You know what I'm saying? When you need help, this is what a man's supposed to do. Not saying you're supposed to depend on a man, but these men need to show these qualities of your father.
No, I don't think it's dependence, but it's a
right,
standard.
It's a standard. Right.
It's definitely a standard.
Hey, Mr. Phillips, you put that standard high. So I'm just letting it out for the future listeners out there that think they're trying to entertain the situation with Moon Pop. She gonna be ready, Joker. She gonna be ready.
Ain't nothing happening.
She gonna be ready.
Ain't nothing happening. You better come correct.
She already got the iPhone 23, so y'all better come higher than that.
Hey, for real. Listen. That's real talk. Also, one of the biggest things, man, that I really try to do with my kids. Because in my household, so my daughter Tiari, she lives in Minnesota. She's 21. She lives in Minnesota with her mom. Kaden lives in Minnesota with his mom. So I have my 16-year-old Jaden, I have Anthony and Emmanuel in my household, and then I got my baby girl Ayana, right, my wife. So one of the biggest things that I really try to teach my boys is I try to teach them to understand their Christianity and their relationship with God, right? And so, like, that's important because we can get so caught up in the natural. We can get so caught up in the natural and the natural way of thinking, and you can't solve spiritual problems by natural means. It's not gonna work, right? And so I teach them how to pray. I teach them how to, and a lot of times it's really tough for males to really sell out and give everything they got for God, because you got to kind of let go of yourself. And we we so like as in the male's nature, it's like, okay, we gonna put our hands to it, we gonna get it done, we gonna fix it, we gonna do this. It's not as like if you kind of got to get out of yourself in order to say, God, I don't got the answers, help me figure it out. And so I try to teach my boys that, and I try to show them that, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to be like, you know, daddy is Superman, you know, daddy gonna make it happen, daddy gonna do this, daddy gonna do that. But like, as I started to grow as a man and grow as a believer, I started showing my boys like, hey, listen, they'd be like, okay, well, daddy, what are we gonna do about this? I said, well, listen, I don't really know exactly what we're going to do about it, but I know we're going to pray about it and we're going to give it to God and watch him work.
So
as I'm showing them that, then they start to learn.
You're showing them faith, how to pray and have faith, but also faith without works is dead. So you can,
it's dead.
At the end of the day, you're showing them how, okay, look, you can't only depend on your own abilities, but you have to depend on the abilities of what the higher call, what the higher being is. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So at the end of the day, for me in my house, you know, I'm a deacon. You know, I do a lot of stuff in church, but for me in my house, I pressed upon prayer. I pressed upon having a relationship. You know, at the end of the day, I don't want my kids to know that, hey, I'm out here just by myself. This is daddy's will. Daddy doing all he can. No, this ain't all dad. You know, dad make mistakes. I gotta let my kids know that humans make mistakes. Men make mistakes.
Yeah. Correct. You know, correct. Men make mistakes. Correct.
At the end of the day, you need to get on your knees and say, oh man, God, help me. Or you know what I'm saying? So if we talking in that realm of just the spiritual aspect of, you know, what a man, how a man should cater to his house. But at the end of the day, the man is the head. You know what I'm saying? So being the head, it's a lot of things that comes with the head. Too much is, to whom much is given, much is required. So at the end of the day, man, we are required to do a lot.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? At the end of the, so you have to have that beacon of, you have to have strength. God just gave me strength for that day to endure, to make it through.
Hey, and you know what, and you touched on it, but what's really important, and I had to start to learn this too, is for one, as being a man and as being a Christian, like people think like you got to show them that, like you said, people make mistakes. Just because you're a Christian don't make you perfect.
You're not perfect.
Right?
You're imperfect.
You're not perfect. Like, you're imperfect, right? And that's the whole reason we need Jesus anyway. Because if we was perfect, wouldn't be no perfect. We wouldn't need Jesus anyway.
I think people think when you're a Christian, you're perfect because they see Christianity as a religion. And I don't personally.
Correct. I look
at Christianity as a relationship.
As a relationship.
And everybody's relationship is different.
Right. 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 Yeah. Right. For sure. For sure. Yeah. So when I can show them. And I keep referring back to you because I like, if for those of y'all that don't know, like Lamont was always my step up. So like, he was a couple years. As a kid, he was a couple years older than me. So he was just a step above me. So I could always look to him. You know, everything I went through, he didn't already went through it. He had just went through it last year, 2 years ago. So he kind of had the answers for me, but. I always saw like you really good at being vulnerable and showing your kids and your family, like, listen, yeah, look, I made that mistake. And so I'm repenting about it. And I ain't perfect. I'm gonna keep it moving. And it's probably gonna be some more mistakes I make, but I'm gonna try to get it right. You know what I'm saying? And so when your kids see that, then they it's important for them to see that, because there's a lot of males that, you know, they try to show their kids or show people around them that they Superman, but then when they actually fall because they're humans, then now it taints that vision, like the son looking up to his dad, like, my daddy failed, or my daddy did, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't let them see that you're vulnerable and human, you're human. you're going to make mistakes, and it's okay to make mistakes. You just build from it and learn from it and try to correct it and move forward.
Right.
And correct. Then kids can appreciate that. Like, one thing about children, listen, kids understand authenticity.
Yes.
I'm talking about from little kids up to young adults. They know what's real, especially nowadays. These kids are smart.
They smart.
They know some BS when they see it.
Well, let me get y'all opinion on something real quick. It's this article called "The Truth About Black Fatherhood" on GiveLegacy.com.
Give reference to the writer. Come on, so we don't do plagiarism.
And the writer, and it's by Alicia Eberhardt Smith, August 11th, 2020. And basically, the truth about black fathers are more involved. So she says, for example, the CDC reports that black fathers who live with their children are more likely than fathers of other races to provide physical care. That means bathe them, diaper, feed them. For their young children, they'll read to their children, they'll help their children with their homework all on a daily basis than fathers of other races who also cohabitate with their kids. And she said the report also reveals that among dads who don't live with their children, black dads are more likely to be involved in care, including reading, helping them with homework, taking them about their days, and taking them to their activities than Hispanic or white dads who live apart from their kids. What do you think about that?
So, Myron, I want to say something, and I want to share my perspective if I can. Mm-hmm. So, with me, my son, he's with me often, but he stays with mom. And for those, I think you all know, my son is a game head. Like, he'll stay up all night playing his game and things of that nature. And, you know, when he with his mom, you know, he plays his game as well, and he be on his phone, and he got all type of games downloaded on his phone. When he's with me, I try to instill different values. Like, I take the phone and tell him, like, look, son, you over here with me. You ain't finna be on your phone. Like, I understand mommy got you a certain way, and you live up under her roof a certain way, but when you with me, I try to do some of the things that my grandfather, as you guys have heard us mention, did to us. I tell my son, it's not always about playing games all day. I said, son, life ain't about games all day. My son wants to play games 24/7. What I would do, I would take the phone from him and turn his phone off for hours at a time, and I go get a book or a newspaper and tell him, read, you got to read. My granddad used to always tell us, Lamont could tell us too, if you don't know how to read, you ain't gonna be
give me a lost soul. That's what he said.
You ain't gonna be a lost soul.
Hold on, Johnson, because my question is right where you at, because, and it's for you, and it's for everybody, but it's pertaining to what you're dealing with. So, and I'm not saying this is my view. I'm throwing a question out there for content. So you said, like, Lil Johnson, you know, be on the game all the time. Is it the right thing to say, get off the game, do something else? Or is it better to say, okay, well, if video games is what you into, then how about if you're not gonna just consume video games, just like be a gamer, like create video games, if that's what you into.
So
like what do y'all think about that? Like, Jonathan, what do you think about that?
So let me answer that, because I have two gamers in my house, my daughter and my son. So I know my son play the game. He plays the game, that's what he do. So he came to me and said, Dad, I want to be a gamer. So as a father, what I did was, okay, you want to be a gamer? What do you need to be successful with it? So I went out, me and my wife and I went out and bought the PC. We went out and bought the monitors. We bought the headphones. We bought several keyboards. So my thing is this, if a kid is interested in something and it's not, and it can help develop them as a person, because at the end of the day, if you look at these gamers, they on their headset, they talking, they doing everything. So they strategize, they do a lot of stuff that they did a lot of critical thinking. When you play the game,
it's not
just getting the remote control, it's critical thinking. They gotta strategize, they gotta do all this stuff, they gotta do all these skills. So if I would say to the parents out there that have kids that play games, go all in for it.
I think there needs to be a balance, because I don't like my kids on screens all day either. And
I have older kids, they have to get out
and be active.
I
like for them to get outside, be active, go around. I don't mind them playing games, but I don't like them just sitting on it all
but
day.
Also, you have to look at too, you have to, I don't want to bring this up, but this is very pivotal. So you got to look at the environment our kids live in, right? So if you live in an inner city, what's the chance that you want your kid to go outside and get hurt versus just stay in the house and play this game? Because the environment not safe when you go outside them doors. Not saying that we don't have faith that nothing's going to happen to our kid, but what's the chances of my kid going outside when we live in a drug infested neighborhood, or you know, it's polluted by, you know, polluted by poverty? What's the odds of our kids going outside? I'm telling you, I'm be honest with you, as a father, my kids ain't going outside. Stay in this house, and we gonna go outside, I gotta take them out to a different suburb to go have fun, or take them to an old park.
But you do still reside in Chirac.
I do. You know what I'm saying? I do, but
right.
But I'm just saying.
But he
you gotta make adjustments.
He prefaced his comment by, you know, like some people are in the city, some people are not. And I think he kind of, you know, prefaced that a certain way. But that's another dynamic that a lot of people don't think about, right? You might be in a safe name, like where Myron stay at. Myron don't have them same challenges that Lamont's kids have, right? So you have to adjust that parenting. Because I agree with Mont. Like, I'm not... It's almost more productive in Lamont's case to have his kids in the house and focusing on something, developing themselves on something inside of the house, than stepping outside of the house and seeing poverty.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And something that they enjoy doing in the process too, though.
Right, for sure. But see,
Let me pose this question.
Go ahead.
While we're on parenting. How has you guys having a father or not having a father in the household affected your way of parenting your children?
Oh man.
Let Jonathan go on that one.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, for one, you know, rest in peace, my daddy. I love him to death. He wasn't the greatest as far as like parenting skills, but he was my father. He brought me in this world and I love him to death. And I wish I could still hug him today, but
I'm sorry. Hold on, man. Johnny was the man. That was my dog, man. Jonathan, what I say to this day that he say?
You both have a $3 bill around here.
It'll cost you a dime to stay out of mine.
That too. But be honest with you, like I said, like. He was kind of like, you know, he dealt with some things that he dealt with. But I was fortunate to have a grandfather, John Washington, God rest his soul as well, that taught me the things that I needed to know. And I also was fortunate to have you guys as cousins and uncles. Barry,
right.
Brad, cousins, Terrell, Mont, Myron, JJ, Corey, the list goes on. You feel me? So y'all was also there. Well, my daddy lacked that. Y'all picked up for me, you know what I'm saying? So it was great to have you guys there, to have my back. And to be honest with you, like, I felt like I didn't miss out on anything, to be quite honest with y'all.
Yeah. So like that's real. That's real good, man. I know for me, my parents, they didn't make it as far as together. My parents split. I think I was second grade when they split. But one thing I do remember is my daddy would always get me every weekend. You know, he would come and get me every weekend. When my mother and my father split, my father went with my stepmother, who he is still with to this day, and my stepsisters. And I'm with them, you know, out here in Arizona. But when my dad left, so I'll say this, when my father, he left from Chicago and moved up to Phoenix, my crucial years, I didn't have him, and it wasn't his choice. If it was his choice, I'd have been with him, because I moved out here to Phoenix in '93, and then I moved back in '90, like a year later in '94, and I did. I think we still had the house on Luna, but then like '95 and '96. I was at my grandfather's house on 5317. And then 96, 97, 98, I was in Minnesota. And those time, that middle school, high school time, I didn't have my father, and I picked up some real bad habits, you know what I'm saying, without him being there. And then I my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I had my father. And so when I left Minnesota, of August of 99, I left Minnesota and came to Phoenix. I returned to Minnesota July of 02. So I left in August of 99. I came back in July of 02. And I came back a man. You know what I'm saying? I left a little boy, broken. You know, a sophomore, my daughter was on the way. You know, I was a freshman in high school, and you know, my daughter's mom, she got pregnant, I think on Valentine's Day, my freshman year in high school.
Hey man, right? Hey, and so I don't mean to interject. He said, "What a father, nigga! You gave a timeline of your whole career, your whole life." This nigga went from 5 years old up to goddamn 26, nigga.
Hey, but no, but I was saying my pops, he helped me to become a man. So when I went back to Minnesota, I came back as a man. I left as a little boy, but I came back as a man. I was able to get I had money in my pocket. I got my own apartment. Me and Lamont, brother, Papa, we moved together. We started, and Papa never went back to the house since. He's thriving. So, you know, my father was a real big, and still to this day, is a real big influence for me.
Okay, so, woo!
I got a question.
Go ahead. No, we have to let Jaycion get in.
Jonathan, I need you to shut all the way up right now.
Hey, Lamont.
For real.
We ain't going to do that tonight.
Not tonight, but we're going to do it tonight. But listen. JCR, you go ahead with your question. I was going to answer. Go ahead with your question. Wait a minute. Let me finish this statement. Because Terrell gave us an autobiography. And you know what I'm saying? And he the only author on the book. That don't make no sense. go ahead, JCR.
So I kind of got a two-part question. And it ain't really got nothing to do. I mean, it got something to do with parenting, but it ain't got nothing to do with like discipline and all that good jazz. But my question on all y'all is, well, the first part is for mostly you and Jonathan, and is, do you feel like there's any added pressure when you name your child a junior? Like when you give them the junior title, do you feel like there's any added pressure in their lives to maybe live up to you in the standards that people see you as, or the person, the individual that you are?
Not for me, because I always told my son that your life is your life, my life is my life. And I always told my son, I don't want you to be like me, I want you to be better than me. So at the end of the day, I don't have an expectation for him. The only expectation I ever had for him was to be a productive citizen, like go to school, do what you need to do, and be who you are as an individual. So there's no added pressure of being a junior, because at the end of the day, just like we human, he's gonna make a ton of mistakes. I made mistakes, so I would not hold him to a higher standard to be something that he can't be, because I'm my own individual. He's his own individual. Granted, he's gonna take some things from me because he's with me, but in all actuality, he's gotta be himself. That's my
point. I wanna say, to be honest with you, I don't know if y'all know this story, but it wasn't my idea to name my son Julian. It wasn't even his mom's. Listen. It was my son's grandmother, or soon to be grandmother. She pulled me to the room like, look, because
my son's mother wanted to name my son Malachi. And I was a little leery. Like, why you want to name him that? So his mother, her mother that was, brought me in the room, was like, look, I think you should name him a Junior. And I thought about it, and it dawned on me. She was like, look, you want your son to be representable of who you are. And I was like, you know what? I really do. So still to this day, it wasn't my idea, but I'm glad we roll with it. Only thing I tell my son is just be himself and to hold his damn chin up whenever he leave the house. You feel me? That's the only thing I care about. So I don't think it's no added pressure. But look, I want to say this, you all. We're getting closer to, like, you know, we want to stay within like that 45 minutes to an hour range.
Let me ask the second part, though.
Hold 1 sec. What you say, JCM?
Let me ask the second part to this question, though, because it includes the other two gentlemen on this phone.
No. I have to say this, and maybe they can tie this question as well into yours. So I had a question from Paula from Cleveland. She wanted me to read this on the air tonight, and everybody can answer this question, and they can tie their answer into what you were going to ask. She said, as a man, have you ever thought about your emotional needs that were neglected by your father?
Oh.
Emotional needs that was neglected by my father.
And that was from Paula from Cleveland, Ohio.
So tell go ahead.
Shout out to Paula too, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Paula. Thank you for the question,
Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Paula, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Paula.
Hey, tell him, Mike.
Paula. I can be honest. It was certain things that I need to see. I'm in a very unique situation. So I had opportunity to have a stepfather, a biological father. I had the best of both worlds, if you want to say. So what I was lacking emotionally from my biological father, my stepfather provided it. So I wasn't really missing anything, but however, from my biological father, yes, I needed him emotionally when I was going through some phases in my life where I couldn't get to my stepfather, you know? But my stepfather was always a phone call away. But yes, the emotional needs are very important from a man, because we need to see a man. We need to see the emotion, how a man handle their emotions. So it's very, very important. But yes, emotional, Paula, emotional is needed. Yeah, if it's absent with you from your father, then it's a possibility it's going to be absent with the way you parent. But for me, from me differently, what my father didn't give me, I made sure I give it to my kids emotionally.
Indeed.
That's
what about you, Myra?
I wasn't really missing anything emotionally, but that's a good question, Paula. I think that when you're missing that emotional part, it comes out in different ways. Like, I know people who don't know how to handle their emotions, and they have all this rage built up in them, and they don't know what to do with it, and they get in relationships, they shut down, they hit walls and all that. So yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. And then I would say, I don't feel like I was lacking anything emotionally from my father. I mean, I think that the time that I was away from my father, I was kind of lacking other things. But in that time, my uncle, which is Lamont's stepfather, he provided a lot of that stuff as well. But so I don't think I was missing anything emotionally from my father.
Right. All right, JC, honest, you want to answer your question real quick?
Okay, so this question pertains to all of y'all. So looking at your children, what are some of your favorite, like when you look at them, what are some of your favorite similarities that you see in yourself when you was growing up? You just sit back and just be like, wow, that's just me.
I'm going to go first. So and with me, y'all,
hey, hold on. That's a great question, JC.
I don't know what's going on with you, but you got a lot of coochies going on in your background. I don't know.
Hey, dude. Hey, listen, yo. I'm not eating the fiber bar this one. That ain't on me, brother.
So to be honest, I'm gonna make this real brief. But one thing is, y'all can all recall is being my older cousins. I asked a lot of fucking questions as a shorty. My son will talk my ear off. Dad, like, and he loved the Chicago Bears.
Dad, why did Tariq Cohen do this? Why he ain't on punt return? Dad, why Mitchell Trubisky on the bench?
That's good.
Dad, why? Like, basically, I see that, JC, under myself, that when I was a shorty asking all my cousins questions, and y'all used to get tired of me, like, John, have to go somewhere and sit down. I be wanting to tell my son the same thing, because he be asking questions all the time. And I be like, damn. But I can't get mad because...
Right. That's how you
I got one question.
For the audience though, they need to know that with J5, he will ask you the same question in a thousand different ways. Like, so that's just who he is. That's how he comes.
Why would you give Lil Jonathan hopes up by being a Bears fan? Why you?
Hey, Myron. I ain't gonna keep telling you, get off that bald head and stuff. I ain't got time for it. Don't talk about my Chicago Bears. And guess what? And to the audience, Jonathan is still the same way. He asked a million one questions. I like Jonathan. I just said that 15 minutes ago. Where's your antennas, boy? I'm sick of saying the same thing. But for me and my kids, Jacoby is my twin 8.0. Smart, wit, and mouth is flipped. Like, quick. He quick with it. Real quick with it. Chloe, she's very task oriented, like I am. Like, she'll sit down and she'll figure it out. Tugger, he has my personality. He like to have fun, like to hang out. But my kids all got something in me, you know, something that my qualities is on, but it all is also like a perfect blend. So that's what it is.
What about you, Myra?
What about you, Myra?
Do your
kids warm up a lot?
My oldest daughter, she's more laid back and reserved like I am. She all the way laid back, reserved, and unless you talking to her, she just chilling. Okay. My twin boys, they're really they ask a lot of questions, and they're really into politics. They ask questions about that and Black history.
They into politics at this age?
Man, that's dope. A lot of questions. That's dope.
That's a lot. What about your kids, Tariq? Let me guess.
Who got the jumper? Out of the boys.
Oh, me? My jump shot? Oh, Tug got my jump shot.
No. You don't have one.
Now, JCI, let me tell you something. I'm gonna shoot the net off the rim. You better stop playing with me on my mama. My name ain't Lamont Phillips. Hey, don't tell my baby. Don't tell the people my alias. What was wrong with you? So listen. So to real kids, they all deliver packages and they deliver.
Tiari is my look. Like I don't got a good memory, right? So, Tiari will forget. She'll tell you something 5 minutes later. She don't remember what she told you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or like, we'll be sitting in the car and she'll be talking, but then she'll talk low, and I'm like, Tiari, I can't hear you. And now it's weird to parent what you do.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude. Yep. You know, and then Anthony got my smooth, laid back personality. Like, he cool in the fan, you know.
Yeah,
but like, but I know him like when I in front of my father, I was an angel. Like, I never cussed in front of my daddy. I never did none of that. But when I got away from the house, when I got at school, I acted a fool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I know Anthony. You know, he cool around me, but then. I know when he get in front of his friends, he gonna clown around.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you know, Jaden, and see, this is another dynamic, right? So Jaden and Emmanuel are not my biological kids, so like they got different personalities. So I had to learn how to parent their different personalities. They not me, you know what I'm saying? So that was another dynamic as well.
Okay. So Lamont, I want you to share with the fans what we're going to be discussing next week.
So next week, we're going to be discussing in marriage, who benefit from marriage most, the man or the female?
Good.
That's going to be
That's going to be
who
hot.
Benefits in marriage.
So who benefits the marriage? Male or female? The male or the
Who benefits more?
The male or the female?
That's good.
Who benefits more in marriage? In marriage, who benefits more? The male or the female?
Well, for you married men on the phone, y'all might
want to
do this podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, listen. Hey, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I am going to record this podcast. I don't know. I might have to go to the bathroom for this one. It's sitting there. But, yeah, so that's our next episode. And we're gonna sign off. Before we sign off, I want everybody to get an outro. And then we're going to sign off and sit and talk to you guys next week. Go ahead. You guys, who's going to sign off first?
I'll go first. My name is Myron. Thanks for listening today. Peace.
All right, this Terrell, man. I appreciate all the listeners, everybody tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week. It's just going to get better and better. Thank y'all.
This is JC on. I'm about to go smash on some nachos and watch Denzel's new movie. I'm out of here.
And this is J5. Be cool and don't get nothing on you.
don't get nothing on you. This dude. Come on, man.
Hey, man. And I'm Lamont. I talk to you guys next week.
All right, peace.